You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Age of Radio.
What's going on, everybody? We are back. This is episode 178 of the Dark Windows podcast. My name is Kevin.
I'm Kevin, and that was a tangent.
You are so lucky that you're going to miss the first 8.5 minutes of this episode because it was completely useless, I think.
That was definitely a good Patreon episode.
That wasn't. That was just us bitching about religions and shit.
Yeah, but it was a good conversation.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, you got some bullshit this week, right?
Well, I mean, I got bullshit.
Well, what you got?
A lot of bullshit.
Because the cube decided that you had to do a crime.
Yes, the dice roll of said cube.
You cannot use the D word.
What?
It's not a dice, it's the cube.
Oh, I'm sorry. The roll of the cube.
The cube is spoken.
Yes. Dun, dun, dun.
We need a sound effect for that.
Right? Would that be, you know, or would it be like...
I think it's like a lightning strike, just...
Yeah, something like that.
And then spoken.
And then you just hear,
Flamlooker.
No.
No. That, we were doing good, and you ruined it with your fucking dumb brain.
Shut up. Well, okay. So, as I said to Kevin last week, he kind of inspired me to do something. Shut up. To do something from the 1800s for a crime. And I was going to do something like kind of Wild Wild West-ish.
Okay, he's going to talk about the Klan and how everybody they killed had it coming.
You fucking know it.
God, I wish they could have gotten their hands on some Jews. That'd have been great.
No. Gypsies. Or
them black Jews. And just, I don't know. Double down.
No, I was just thinking gypsies. Just gypsies.
Black Catholic Jews. We'll get them all in one shot.
So Kevin, like I said, he inspired me to do something from the 1800s, late 1800s. And I was kind of mulling it over. And I was like, there's the standard, you know, Jesse James and some other ones.
You can't do Jesse James in one episode.
No. And a few others. I was like, I don't know. I did find another one that...
But here's the question with Jesse James. Is that a crime or is that a badass? I think that would fall more into the realm of badass.
Well, technically, let's see, because that's more of a badass, but...
Even though you think about it, his entire adult life was a nonstop crime spree from the time he turned like 13
true,
until he
but
died.
True, but there's not like a, kind of like a plan it out. Go roll the bank, you know, go like, not like a plan out type of thing where you staked it out, you know, did some surveillance on it and then you did the hit.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they did that.
No, they just fucking just walked in and they're like, give us your fucking money.
They would have staked it out for a little bit first.
Yeah. What? 10 minutes?
It's still something.
Yeah. But there's not like the one I'm going to cover.
Ah.
Okay. The one I'm going to cover. Same time frame, but more, let's say, almost like modern day. The modern day people would be like, bravo, bravo, motherfuckers.
So like Larry Phillips, if he hadn't, you know, suck started his Beretta, would have been like, these guys are pretty good at this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, and I did find another one. I'll have to look through and I'll at some point maybe have to cover that one.
Okay.
But, yeah. And also, got to mention, this is nothing to do with this, the episode, but if you head on over to Patreon.
Hell fucking yes.
Sometime maybe this week or next week, whatever.
Yeah, it'll be this week.
Whatever we want to do.
It's patreon.com/darkwindowspodcast.
Yes.
We're back.
I am going to be covering a small little, another little bank heist. A second, we're going to get doubling up on the bank heist.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll get another little small one we'll talk about, which was just as good as this one, but actually better because more money was stolen.
And then next week, it is just Mexican drug cults galore.
Nice.
It's going to be fucking wild. I really, really hope that eventually my head is not found sewn to a turtle for talking about it. So
that's okay.
Good luck.
Well, anyway, yeah. So let's get into this. On this all starts off on the morning of, we're going to do like a little time jump. We're going to go jump ahead, then we're going to jump back. Okay. So on the morning of January 26, 1876, a woman screamed from her bedroom window. You know, something like that. I don't know. Maybe it was like something more of a loud pitch scream. I don't know. But
you can get that high. Go for it.
No, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
No. She screamed from her bedroom window that burglars had robbed the Northampton National Bank. This is close to home. Okay. Only a state away.
New York?
Nope. And that they had captured her husband. The news sent out Northampton, Mass. As a small...
Northampton.
Yes. A small industrial city into a frenzy. Several men walking to work at the shoe factory heard the woman and notified the police promptly. What unfolded next caused great excitement in the town and went down in the U.S. history as the largest bank robbery ever. Well, until the aforementioned one I said at before we started the episode.
Yeah, and then, you know.
Which was larger than this one.
It okay, let's put it this way.
At the time,
it was the largest bank robbery in the 1800s.
It was the largest bank robbery at that time, in 1876.
That's exactly what I just said.
You said 1800s, and I said no, because exactly 2 years later, there was a bigger one.
Okay. But neither one of these were shit compared to some of the stuff that's happened since then.
Well, we'll see if that's what, if you say that after this.
Let's see.
So that morning, seven men from New York City came all the way up to little old Northampton, Massachusetts. Well, it wasn't that morning they did, but they were up there.
Right.
And they made off with $1.6 million in cash and bonds.
Fuck, that's a lot of money.
Today, that was roughly equivalent to $26 million.
Yeah, that's a pile.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Oh, this is out in Western Massachusetts. It doesn't even exist. Western Massachusetts is just a fucking wasteland of trees. There's nothing else there.
It exists.
Okay. Vaguely. It's there.
So, the reason why this was so big and confounding that it happened was that the bank had recently installed a new bank vault that was thought to be impenetrable, okay? And now, I do have to have a side note for this before we go any further, because that I found on the web, this is going to blow some people's minds, that there's a there's a copy of a book that details this whole account, okay? And it's selling for $275.
That's not bad.
That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot of money for a, a 1876 or whatever the, 1878, whatever the, just a guess of when it was published.
Yeah.
Of the whole account of how it happened.
Yeah, I've definitely looked at books that are like that expensive and gone, you know what? That's a car payment. I should probably not.
Yeah.
My wife will kill me with this thing.
But that's kind of cool. That there's a company that's selling an original copy of this whole heist.
In its entirety. Like a first-hand account kind of thing.
So anyway, back to this. So we're going to go a little back further, okay, before the bank heist happened. And start off with the, you know, I'm going to kind of tell you about the town. So, Northampton, Massachusetts, as Kevin said, is in the western side of Massachusetts. Yeah. It's mostly a farming community.
Yeah, it's like central western.
And the farmers who would need to borrow money later on from the bank didn't necessarily like banks, didn't like to do that. So they would actually turn to neighbors or extended family to actually borrow money.
Yeah, because back then banks were fucking shiftier than they are now. Like they could just out of the blue go, yeah, you know what? You don't have any money here anymore.
Yeah.
And you owe us some money. So if you don't pay us, we're going to just take all your shit.
Yeah.
Which is why so many bankers got fucking killed, because they just go out with paperwork and some farmer goes out and cuts them in half with a fucking 12 gauge.
Yeah. So
I don't know, you shit fucker.
So if they needed money, they would borrow it, you know, like I said, from a neighbor or extended family. And they would actually keep their savings at home or lent to someone in the community in exchange for a personal note. You know, just basically says, hey, I'll give you this money, but, you know, when I call in my note, I want my money back in return.
Right.
You know, just so that, you know, it's, you know, it's your kind of security type of thing.
This is pre-hiding it in the mattress.
Or, well, this is hiding it in the mattress.
Yeah. You know? Well.
Because you gotta, I mean, no, you don't trust the bank.
Probably still shouldn't, but that's okay.
But, you know, farmers were slow to trust banks because, you know, as Kevin said, they were shifty.
Yeah.
And they didn't really become popular with them until the 1820s and into the 1830s. Northampton National Bank was actually established in 1833. So it wasn't, they didn't have a bank. Them. You know, so fuck. What the hell? You know? So a new thing comes about. It's kind of like this telephone or lights. You know, what the hell?
Blockbuster. Remember when Blockbuster first came to town? We're like, fuck yeah.
Well, that was just because it, you know, meant you could rent more movies. Exactly. They had more stuff.
New shit.
I mean, I don't know. I never was big on, like, going to stuff like that because that was, like, a special treat for me as a kid.
Well, same, yeah.
You know, get to go to the local
video rental world. Place.
Yeah, video rent. Well,
yeah.
We didn't have, I mean, video world.
Shit,
was
we used
like
to rent them at Kamuta's.
Yeah. I mean, a video rental place was like, you know, ooh, okay, that's a Friday night.
Yeah.
You know.
Every couple Fridays, you get that and some pizza. Oh, yeah. It was the shit.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those cool things.
And if you were like, if you were being good, occasionally you could rent like a PS1 game, which was rad.
See.
You remember being able to just fucking throw a disc in and play a game and not have to sit there for 5 fucking hours while your thing downloads it so you can play it off the fucking disc and then you can't play it without the fucking disc?
That's how we used to like to
the good old days.
Buy game, like, you know, we'd rent a game. Like, I walked into Video One and somebody was behind the counter, they were playing RBI Baseball 3. I think it was, and I was like, "Holy shit, they're a lot bigger!"
Yeah,
I want to play. Awesome. I want to play that. So, rented the fucking game, played it. Okay, well, maybe I might, you know, see if I can get that for Christmas or my birthday.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. But you didn't have to sit there while your Nintendo fucking processed the cartridge for 4 hours, staring at your screen. Going, I just want to play it.
I know.
Huh.
Shitty. So, the bank wasn't established till 1833.
Now that we're done complaining about being old men.
As New England was converting from a barter economy to a more modern monetary system, and 2 years later, 1835.
You ever think we should go back to that, though?
What?
A barter system? Be like, I have things that you would like, and I need services done.
I don't believe here. That's a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be okay with it.
I kind of like it. Yeah. 2 years later, in 1835, when a canal connected the town to the Connecticut River, and trade routes to New Haven, Northampton began to grow.
Mm-hmm. As they do.
Yep. The arrival of the railroad in 1845 helped the town establish itself as a small industrial center.
There it is. Railroad comes to town and you get big.
Yep. The arrival of the railroad... I missed... Whoops.
You asshole.
Start that one again.
Asshole!
Yeah.
Okay.
So as population and prosperity grew, so did the Northampton National Bank. By the 1870s, it was one of the leading financial institutions in the community of 25,000 people. In 1874, Northampton National Bank officers decided to improve security by installing one of Linus Yale's new cylinder pin tumbler locks. Now, before I go any further... This is kind of weird because who I work for, mm-hmm. we actually use Yale locks.
That's what we have on the building at work.
Yeah. I was like, I know that fucking name. That's so now, cool.
Did you guys do the locks there?
I don't know.
I hope not because somebody fucked up because our maintenance guy has a master key that unlocks every door in that building except for one of them, which is a different fucking lock.
Yeah.
Key doesn't even go into it. Like,
no, I don't think weird. We did, but.
Oh.
I think they hired someone else.
Probably
on New York.
Lowest bidder. That's how they do shit. Yeah. Which is why we have a $5 million building with fucking water leaks everywhere.
Yeah. So the new cylinder tumbler lock system by Linus Yale, which had been invented just previous, could be opened only with a key and combination. Okay. Now they hired the Herring Safe Company and a man who came, to town to install the new high tech security system, was a Herring employee named William Edson. Okay.
You said that like I was supposed to recognize the name.
Nope.
Okay.
What was not known was that Edson was linked to the Rufus Ring.
Inside job. I love it.
Yeah. Who were a well-known group of bank robbers who specialized in breaking into new combination lock vaults. Well, they didn't really specialize it. They just fucking were given the...
As I say, you don't have to specialize in cracking locks when somebody's like, hey, fucker, here's the key and the combo.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Exactly.
You know, fucking kick me my 25% or whatever.
Uh-huh. So in a string of bank robberies that stretch from Louisville... So I'll call it Louisville, and I'm simply like, that's not how you say it.
Louisville where?
Kentucky.
I'm pretty sure it's Louisville, but...
No, no, my sister-in-law pronounced it Louisville.
Yeah, she lives in Alabama.
No, she doesn't. My sister-in-law?
Oh.
She lives in Oregon.
Oh, well, whatever.
She's lived a lot of places.
She's from Kentucky, so...
No, she's from a fucking Long Island.
Oh, gross.
Then she lived in Connecticut. Then she lived in Kentucky, and then she lived in Oregon. Hmm. So, well, lived in Vermont, too.
And they may as well have a fucking second home in Hawaii from what I've seen on Facebook.
That's
assholes.
So, in a string of robberies that stretch from Louisville, Kentucky, because I'm going to say it how I want to Elmira, New York, three of the gang leaders, Robert Scott, James Dunlap, and Billy Connors, had led... What?
You could have just picked three other generic white names and I wouldn't have fucking known any difference. Bill Williams, Ted Johnson, and Chris Marshall. There you go. Just we could fucking interchange them and they would never know.
Well.
Because it's just, you know.
Those are the guys' names. Crazy. They had led an ingenious and determined group of thieves. Edson, who arranged... to make copies of the bank keys for the gang in previous robberies, probably tipped them off to the quite lucrative amount of cash reserves stored in the vault. Because guarantee some.
Yeah.
So in November of 1875, three of the gang's leaders began visiting the town to scout out the bank and actually the layout of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you got to have to do that because if you're going to get away, you got to know best way to get out.
Yeah.
It would take them 2 weeks during this time. During this time, the men tracked bank operations and employees, observe the routine of the bank cashier and the night watchman. Also, they observed the deputy sheriff. And they also, during this time, found places to hide the loot and plan their entry into the vault and the all-important thing of the escape route.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Then on November 22nd, Edson arrived in town and met with bank officials on Herring Company business.
Mm-hmm.
And he examined the vault with the permission of the bank manager and under the guise of adjusting the vault key for a better fit. He made a wax copy.
That's still a common thing. People will make a wax imprint of a key and you can still cut a key off of that.
Yeah. Well, before he left, he and the manager agreed that the cashier should be the only person to know the combination of the lock. Okay. So, now, I was going to just kind of, you know, just wing everything, but I found actually a timeline of when everything happened.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? Why try to, you know, just read through everything and then try to remember it and write it all down and go from there. Why not just go off the timeline that's there?
That's probably the best policy, yeah.
Yeah. So here's a timeline of proceedings that from, you know, everything right up to the robbery. So Monday, January 25th, all systems were go. At 4 p.m., Northampton Bank closed. The cashier, Whitesley, walked the several blocks to his home. Shortly after midnight, the Rufus Ring broke into Whitesley's house. They wore masks made by cutting the legs off men's drawers and pulling them over the head with holes cut in for eyes.
You know, that those aren't CDC approved.
Well, they didn't have to be.
For everybody else's protection, they should have been.
I know.
Fucking, yeah, whatever.
Well, anyway, they spoke to each other by number instead of name. Quickly and quietly, they woke the seven occupants of the house, handcuffed them, and bound all but Mr. Whitesley in the room, in the same room. By 1:20 a.m., they had isolated Whitesley and began torturous interrogation. At first, the cashier refused to give the lock combination, then gave a false one. But the thieves made him repeat the number, and when he could not, they knew he was lying. Under considerable pressure, the cashier eventually gave in, believing that the gang would never be able to open the safe without the key to accompany the combination.
Which they already had.
He didn't know that. So what?
Give us the combination. I'm going to smash your balls with this Bible.
Yeah.
Three.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just three. That's the only one I can remember.
Well, you know, he didn't know they actually had a copy of the key.
They probably had the fucking combination, too.
Well, so just before 4 a.m., the thieves left him and took off for the bank.
Mm-hmm.
From their observation, they knew that the night watchman left at 4, okay?
Right.
And the bank would be unguarded until it opened for the day a few hours later.
So probably, what, like 6? It's farm town, yeah. So yeah. Fucking sun comes up, everything's open.
Yeah. So at 6:30 on the morning of the 26th, a man walking to work heard Mrs. Whitesley scream from her house.
We've come full circle.
Yes.
Back to the beginning.
And her scream was, "They've taken my husband and are robbing the bank! They're all at the bank! Please help my husband!"
Shut up, bitch.
But of course, by then, it was too late. The thieves had made off with the cash stocks and bonds.
They'd already robbed the bank, hogtied, and raped her husband.
Yeah. Squeal, boy. Squeal like a pig.
I don't think they'd want him to squeal. What's my number? What's my number? I don't know.
So 1 month later, on February 28th, the first good lead in the case arrived in the form of a letter to the bank. It was a ransom note that included two of the stock certificates to improve authenticity. The bank stalled for months, sending partial replies. At one point, the crooked locksmith, Edson, met with the bank manager, claiming to be an innocent go-between.
Yeah.
The manager offered a $60,000 ransom.
Jesus Christ.
The ring turned it down, demanding $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
9 months later, Connors met with the president of the bank, who again offered only $60,000.
Jesus Christ. Why is nobody following this asshole somewhere and finding where he's meeting with these guys?
Well, all the while, detectives from the Pinkerton agency, bunch of assholes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, these pieces of shit under the picture.
Yeah. Were hired by the bank just 4 days after the robbery and were tracking the thieves. Nearly 1 year after the robbery, ringleaders Dunlap, Scott, and Connors were arrested.
The Pinkertons fucking sucked, but they were really good at what they did.
They did. They were.
Wow.
Edson turned state's evidence, and the rest of the men were never charged. The securities...
So the locksmith gets charged, right?
Yep.
The guys that actually rob the bank and kidnap a man face no charges.
No. He turned, the guy that made the key.
Yep.
Turned on him.
Yep.
Okay.
I thought you said the other men faced no charges.
No. The rest of the men that were involved in it. So the three ringleaders
mm-hmm.
were charged.
Okay.
Edson wasn't because he turned state's evidence. And the rest of the men involved weren't.
Huh. Okay. I misheard that then because I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck? This guy turns on him, they're like, ah!
No.
Just these fucking kids and just turn them loose?
No. The securities were sold out, the bonds and stocks got returned. But the cash
was never ever.
Cash was never ever recovered. No. So, yeah. That's the Northampton bank robbery.
Nice.
What later happened was with the three men, so Dunlap, Scott, and Connors, they went to jail, did their time in jail. I think one of them actually like appealed his conviction and mm-hmm. got out.
Hey.
You know. Another one, the rest of them spent their time. I think they only did like 20. They like 20 years.
So you know, the one that got out first took all that fucking money and skated. Like it was hid somewhere, and he's like, "Hey, you guys are going to be gone for a little bit. By the time you get out of prison, you'll probably have forgotten that we robbed a bank for a bunch of money. I know I won't.
Probably, but
he's bought himself an entire building just made out of fucking laudanum and whores. I'm assuming at this point in time."
Probably.
Yeah. Do you know what laudanum is? It's equal parts whiskey, opium, and fucking mercury, which is why everybody was addicted to it.
I can see the opium. Yeah, opium.
And whiskey. I mean, you know, alcoholism's a thing.
Yeah, but it's the opium that makes you addicted.
I mean, alcohol's pretty addictive, too.
Yeah, but it doesn't hook you like the opium does, because the opium hooks you quick.
Right, but, you know, alcohol's also fun. But mercury, I'm not real sure why that one's in there, but it is.
Just killed you.
I feel like we've mentioned that before in an episode somewhere fucking years ago, but, you know.
I don't think so.
Pretty sure we did. I'm pretty confident we've talked about it somewhere.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
But, so that's what you got?
Yeah.
Cool. So, since you talked a bunch, we are, like we mentioned before, we're restarting Patreon. So $5 a month, we kind of simplified it. Instead of having fucking a $1, a $2, a $5, $10, $20, all these other fucking tiers, $5 a month gets you an extra episode every week. That's a dollar an episode, basically. It's pretty not bad.
No.
The Patreon episodes are probably going to be a little bit more of a shorter form, like 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes, somewhere in there. But you're for $5, you're getting an extra episode every week. And we've already got a small backlog of three that we recorded before. But yeah, it's just something if you want a little extra. If you're not sick and tired of listening to our fucking terrible voices after 178 episodes at this point in time, fucking go check it out. Our first Patreon is actually a cursed episode that we recorded when Seth was still on the show. And I went to upload that one, and my fucking computer committed...
Seppuku?
It didn't, like, slice its guts open or anything, but it was like, I'm gonna make sure that I'm not alive anymore.
Oh.
And proceeded to shit its britches.
Uh-huh.
And we lost our first, like, 85 episodes that I had saved, and our original theme music, which is why we have our awesome new theme music that we've had for quite some time. But yeah, it was a local true crime of a fucking atrocious murder that took place about an hour and a half north of here. So it was not fun to record because, you know, who really wants to talk about child murder? Not, I didn't particularly, but I had a book about it, so. You know. It's one thing to read this stuff and go, oh, this is gross. Oh, fuck, I have to actually say this. Ew.
Yeah.
But yeah, $5 a month, fucking hop on.
And we actually went to, actually I showed Kevin where the person was...
they killed her.
Captured, well where she was killed and where she was incarcerated.
Yeah. More importantly, where she was killed. Because if anybody ever deserved to get killed, it was her.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, give it a shot. See what you think. And, you know, hop on for the month and be like, okay, they've only got like six episodes. Cool. I'm going to drop off. That's fine. Come back in a couple months and we have more. Fuck it. You know, whatever you want to do. But, also go over to Studio, check out some headphones, some earbuds, a speaker, throw whatever you want in your cart, put in the checkout code DARKWINDOWS15 for 15% off your entire order. Get some badass, very well-made audio devices. You can also go over to ageofradio.org and you can actually listen to every episode of this shit we've ever done over there. You can also find your next favorite podcast over there. We've got something for everybody. We've got true crime. We've got history. We've got whatever the fuck we do. Unsolved murders. There's fucking comic books and beer and motivational shit and sports and movies. There's a little bit of everything there for everybody. So
all that motivational shit.
Yeah. If you want to be motivated, which I find to be highly dangerous because, motivated people scare me.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of them. So, but yeah, check that out. You can also go to Facebook and punch in Dark Windows Podcast. We are the only one that will pop up. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Dark Windows Pod. If you want to check out any of our personal shit, I am Kev Carlton on Facebook. And I am at Kevin Sucks at Stuff on Instagram, which, if you want to look at pictures of fucking dumb shit I'm doing around my house and a partially disassembled rifle that I haven't finished yet, that's what you're going to find. And pictures of tools, because every time I get a new power tool, I'm like, hey, look, I got to share this because, you know, I'm a piece of shit. So
you put pictures of power tools on Instagram?
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair
and
enough.
I tag Milwaukee in them because I'm like, maybe they'll say something. Maybe they'll send me a battery. That'd be cool.
Ooh, you know? Maybe they'll sponsor you.
Red Power?
Or something. Fuck yeah. I don't know.
The fuck is Milwaukee Power Tools going to sponsor our show for?
No, we haven't done
an episode on Dahmer yet.
I didn't say you. I didn't say me. I said you. They'll reach out to you and be like, hey, you want to?
Yeah. Hey, do you want to like be sponsored by our tools where you do not so good stuff because you don't have a lot of talent or skill with them? Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
I don't care.
You know, I'll take it.
And you can find me. I'm on Facebook. I'm Kevin Hire.
Did you almost just say my name?
I did.
You son of a bitch.
I'm so used to fucking, like, saying, you know, that this whole part, you know, I'm like, fuck. Anyway.
He hate us because he ain't us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm Kevin Heyer. You know, you'll find me posting on there. Also, I'm on Instagram. I'm Speedy802, SPEDIE802. And you'll find mostly, like, me posting pictures of my dog.
I love how the longer we go, the less you know how to talk.
I know. Fuck.
Yeah. You'll find me poaching eggs and stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'll be poaching the eggs and, you know, posting pictures of my dog. My German Shepherd, she just had to have surgery.
She got her nuts cut off.
She didn't have nuts.
Her lady nuts.
Yes, her lady nuts. Yes. She had to have surgery. And yeah, she can't have puppies anymore. She's very sad.
Probably not.
No, she's not. She doesn't even know.
But she's a fucking psycho, so I don't think she really cares.
Kevin always says that because she tries to bite his hair.
Dude, that dog is such a terrorist. I'm surprised she hasn't joined fucking ISIS yet. Except they don't like dogs, from what I remember from about 16 months ago, where that one dude got his fucking, just his guts ripped out by a dog that they turned loose in a cave on him.
Speaking of that.
Which is awesome. Fuck that guy, that dog's a hero.
Speaking of that. So, side note. I don't know if we had posted it on the Facebook page or whatever. Or if some, I don't know if somebody shared it or whatever it was, but I saw it. So luckily to us, on Highway 89, just over New Hampshire, because 89 runs from Burlington, Vermont, all the way through into New Hampshire.
Like White River and then down to New Hampshire.
It goes like out in New Hampshire all the way to 93?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're at junction to 93.
And then you can go to Manchester, and then you go up the main. Yeah.
It kind of junctions, and you go south. Well, anyway, closer to us on 89, there was a car accident. And people were, like, calling into the cops saying that, you know, there's a dog on the road.
Yeah, you know, I saw that.
The German Shepherd. Turns out the cops show up. They're trying to corral the fucking dog. And she's just like, no. She has a Lassie moment and leads them back to Timmy. Well, back to her owner.
It's a good thing the ATF didn't show up because they would have just shot it.
Yeah. Well, they so she leads them back to there. Okay. And they're like, oh, shit. You know, there's a car accident. Okay. Well, let's try to get, you know, the dog so she doesn't get hurt. Well, no. She's like trying to show more that, you know, where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Turns it, you know, because her owner and then her owner's friend, I think it was, were ejected from the vehicle.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And but the shit part is, I found this out today, was, yeah, he saved their lives. She saved their lives and everything. But turns out he was actually drunk.
The driver or the dog?
Yeah. Yes.
This dog is shit-faced. We can't believe it.
Did you give that damn dog a breathalyzer? You make him walk a line.
We need a blood sample, a blood test. Oh, you're refusing to cuff him?
Put one paw to your nose and then to the other.
Yeah.
What?
Recite the alphabet backwards. Jim, it's a fucking dog. We should have been driving anyway, then. We're going to find a reason to give him a ticket.
I don't give a shit if that dog can, you know... Dog can't recite the alphabet backwards. It's going to jail.
His vaccinations aren't up to date. We're taking him in.
Yep.
Yeah. You can post bail in the morning.
Yeah. I see your rabies is out of date.
Yeah. Come with us. Hands in the back of your head. Back slowly towards the car.
I told you to stop being mouthy.
Yeah. And again, like I said, if the ATF had showed up, they'd have been like, oh no, dog.
Give me back my nightstick. Yeah.
Because if there's one thing the ATF likes killing more than kids, it's dogs. Oh, so, yeah.
They're assholes.
Yeah, fuck all those guys.
Yeah, so the guy ended up being drunk, but, you know.
So he's a piece of shit, but his dog's a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
He was thankful for his dog, you know, actually saving him.
Yeah, he should have been thankful for the fact that he was drunk enough to survive a car accident like that.
True.
Because if he had been sober and got ejected, he probably would have died, but being drunk, he just fucking ragdoll and... you don't feel any pain. So
yeah, well, I mean, he claimed that he had a few drinks beforehand.
A few is like six. Well, so that's drunk.
I don't know, but yeah. Just felt that, you know, he wasn't drunk, but maybe it was buzzed, and you know, okay. I don't know.
So I had a beer means I had two beers. I had a couple of beers means I had four beers. I had a few is like 6 to 10. So this dude was fucking trashed.
I guess. I mean,
I'm telling you. Beer math is a thing.
When I say I have a couple,
liquor means... algebra.
When I say I have a couple, that means I had two.
Again, a couple is 2 to 4. A couple for me is usually, I had a couple beers. It's 3. It's right in the middle. It's a couple beers.
Aha. Uh-huh.
A handful of beers, I had 5. Because, you know, I can still count to 5 at that point. It's all good.
Okay.
I had a few beers is like, I woke up with a headache the next morning. That's a few beers. And I've had more than one night where I've had a few beers.
I mean, when I say a few beers, I'm talking like a 6-pack plus a little extra.
6 to 10 is a few. We just went over this.
But it's not like, that's not like a hangover. That's
depending
just,
on what you're drinking.
That's like I've had, you know, I've had a few. Okay. If I can, you know, sober up, you know, stop drinking, sober up.
Okay. First of all, we're not going to encourage people to drink and drive. So don't take it that way. We've made mistakes, though. I had a night where I left the bar and I was so drunk that I don't remember it really happening. But I got in my truck, put my seatbelt on, went to put the keys in the ignition, dropped them on the floor, and woke up at 7 o'clock the next morning.
Wow.
To somebody tapping on my window. Hey, buddy, you want a coffee? I thought I died last night. No, you're okay. You had your seatbelt on. Fucking truck never left the parking spot. Yeah. Yeah. Good times. Good times.
As my mother would have said, why didn't you call me?
Yeah, she would have been like, you could have just called. And I would have been like, yeah, but you know, driving drunk is kind of in my blood. So I have a genetic predisposition to be a pretty not great driver when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
But.
Well, you also have a paranoid one when you're high.
Yeah, I drive real slow when I'm baked.
Yeah, but then we
and
also...
And I yell at people at Burger King because it takes them, quote-unquote, too long to give me my food, even though it's been a couple of minutes.
But then we time warp somehow.
Yeah. I think we got fucking dusted in our cheeseburgers. That's the only thing I can think. Is
no, because that was coming off of the mountain, and you were fucking like...
They put fucking PCP in my Whopper or something. I don't remember.
You were just like...
I was really fucking high.
How the fuck did I get down here?
What? Really, really fucking high.
You know, this took
high to the point that you, when you watch it, you look at a bonfire and it stops moving high.
Well, that was a different.
That's one. Fucking scary. That's happened more than once, buddy.
That wasn't time warp.
No, but still.
Well, I was that high where I saw fucking something glowing outside of my hammock.
Yeah, like, and you were also freaking out because you thought that there was like beavers that were going to come up from the water and attack us. And
they
like,
were going to.
Beavers aren't generally known for their aggressiveness.
Well, listen, those fuckers were going to. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't think they. I mean, they didn't, so I don't think they were going to.
Well, they were planning on it.
They were okay. Fucking plotting on you?
Yeah, they were.
After whispering to each other, you just hear their teeth clicking.
Yes.
And they come up and just bite your nuts off in your sleep.
Yeah, I'm like fucking major pain in that, you know, situation. Are you plotting on me, ass?
You eyeballing me, boy? Anyway.
Sure, no, sir.
So now that we've just been... I don't know if... Did we actually record a topic or we just bullshit the entire time here? Because that's what it feels like we did, but...
We recorded a topic.
Okay, cool. As long as you're good with it.
And then we bullshitted a little bit.
Then we bullshitted some more.
What the hell?
We're full of it because it's like we went from religion to bank robberies to headphones and then driving drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do any of that stuff.
No,
except buy headphones.
Yes.
You should do that.
Yes. And go over to Age Radio. And then, you know, listen to all of our shit and then someone else's shit. Yeah.
And if you're going to drive drunk, do it in video games. It's way more fun.
Yeah.
And have like 8 beers and play Grand Theft Auto. You will not regret it.
And go to, you know, download your podcast on your favorite
podcast. You're really stuck in this fucking podcast thing, aren't you?
I am.
Jesus. Get over it.
All right. Anyway, well, let's wrap this shit up.
We got to record Patreon now. So just because you can't see out into the dark doesn't mean that the dark can't see into you. Bye-bye. Bye. Go to Patreon. You can hear us again tomorrow.